Well, tonight I want to share with you briefly about some of the last days of Jesus' life on earth. Of course, that's until he comes back as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And also the significance of communion. So when it comes to information on these last days of Jesus Christ's life and the significance of communion, I can't think of any better resource of information outside of the Word of God that best teaches about these times of his last few days on earth. And that's the book, Jesus Christ, Our Passover, by Victor Paul Wirwill. So today is Monday. And yesterday, Sunday, was what people call Palm Sunday. And so we're kind of looking at what happened between that time, Sunday, to Wednesday morning. You know, God's Word has much to say. And we can spend hours and hours and hours reading the different accounts of what occurred and what happened, what Jesus Christ went through. But I stop at Wednesday because it was Wednesday afternoon that Jesus Christ died. And then we know he arose 72 hours later. As the scripture says, as Jonah was in the fish's belly 3 days and three nights, so shall the Son of Man. And those 3 days and three nights signify specific time, which is 72 hours. So if he died Wednesday afternoon, then he was raised from the dead sometime Saturday afternoon. And of course, it was very early Sunday morning that he was discovered that he was not in the grave. So when you work the accuracy of God's word, this is the timing of these events. So, you know, it's kind of interesting. We celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ on Sunday morning. Virtually all the churches do, and yet he rose Saturday afternoon sometime. But, you know, it's interesting that we could work these things, and I'm looking forward to being together this Sunday at Point Loma Assembly. We're going to have our, I guess, our first face-to-face fellowship for a long, long time, April 4th, this Sunday morning, 10:30 a.m. So hopefully most of you can join us. And if you can't physically be with us, certainly we'll be broadcasting our conference call fellowship, and you can join us that way as well. But from Sunday to Wednesday, a lot occurred. And of course, we know that Sunday that he went in and out of Jerusalem a few times, riding a colt at one time. Talks about a couple situations with fig trees. One of the fig trees was in this town, and then other ones was outside the gate and teaching the great law of believing. Jesus talked to the religious leaders at the temple during this time. And I think about one of them must have been Nicodemus, and how he was processing what was going on, having talked to Jesus earlier that year and talking about the things of the new birth. And then, of course, during this time, he shared a number of parables referring to the religious leaders. So a lot went on. Some of the prophecies, we recognize the sharing and the prophecies given by Jesus, for the most part, dealt with Israel, not to the born-again believers, the church, the body of Christ, of which we belong. Jesus shares of his soon to occur crucifixion. They visited the Mount of Olives and returned for supper at Bethany So a lot of these things were going on. And a woman treated Jesus as a king by anointing his feet with precious oil. And then, of course, during this last meal, or what they might call the Last Supper, Judas Iscariot leaves that meal and goes to arrange to have the authorities meet Jesus and take him in to be crucified. So a lot of these things occurred. So the Last Supper, as best I can figure, occurred Monday night, which would represent this evening. And a lot of things went on during that time. And it was at this time Jesus instituted a memorial for his approaching death. And I would like to get into that. And to do that, I want to quote and read from Jesus Christ, Our Passover. And I'm going to look at page 109 through 112. We'll look at different places within the book and see what happened during this time. So here we go. Here at this Last Supper, Jesus instituted a memorial for his approaching death. It is a memorial to be recognized and one that may be participated in by all born-again believers until he returns. It is also a symbol of the making of a new covenant with Israel, a covenant involving the shedding of blood. During the church age, that new covenant is held in abeyance. It will again be in effect when Israel is reestablished, as stated in the book of Revelation. For then Jesus Christ will again be present to reign over Israel in the kingdom of heaven. And then I jump over to page 110. The new covenant does not apply directly to those of us in the church of the body. It was for Israel. However, in a very real and practical sense, we do enjoy the benefits of that covenant and all the accomplishments of Christ, which made the second covenant possible. That is why we observe communion in remembrance of these things. When Israel rejected Jesus as the Messiah, that new covenant he established was withdrawn and is being held in abeyance. But in its place, God made something much greater available to both Israel and to the Gentiles, namely the great mystery that the Gentiles are fellow heirs and of the same body, each individual believer having Christ in him. Only a small segment of Israel ever came to the point of accepting this opportunity to appropriate the greatness of the mystery which God brought about. When we, during the age of grace, observe the memorial called Holy Communion, we declare that we remember the many blessings Jesus Christ made available by his death. By revelation, he instituted this memorial before his suffering and death. What a loving act by our wonderful Savior. This is my body. In Matthew 26:26, could not be literal. We do not literally eat Jesus Christ's body. Centuries of argumentation could have been avoided if people had recognized a very simple figure of speech called metaphor. A metaphor is stronger than a simile, which simply compares two things by using the words like or as. And that's a simile, using those like and as. In a metaphor, the verb is can be replaced by the word represents. Jesus was emphatically saying, quote, "This bread represents my body. Likewise, the wine in the cup represents his blood. And then we're going to look at 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 23 through 30. And in the book, the Apostle Paul quotes or spoke of this memorial in 1 Corinthians chapter 11. And here we go. For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, Take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also he took the cup, when he had supped, saying, This cup is the New Testament covenant in my blood. This do ye as oft as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation, or judgment, to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. Notice that this bread and wine are to be taken in remembrance. That is why it is a memorial rather than a sacrament, which is a rite with a mysterious meaning. We are to give proper remembrance of Jesus Christ and the accomplishments of his death. He died as Israel's last and true Passover lamb. Because he was the ultimate Passover lamb, there is no need for any more Passover sacrifices or meals, because Jesus Christ was the final sacrifice. The Passover meal has been replaced with Holy Communion, which is the memorial of Jesus Christ's death. The cup of the wine represents the blood he shed to atone for sins. The bread represents his body. The accomplishments of his bodily sufferings bring us physical deliverance. Not discerning the Lord's body has caused many Christians to become weak, sickly, and even die. They have not claimed the physical health Jesus Christ made available. Whereas Passover memorialized the children of Israel's deliverance from the bondage of Egypt, Holy Communion memorializes the believer's deliverance from the bondage of sin and its consequences. Communion is the only memorial God has given whereby Christians remember the atonement of his Son. And it is a memorial that, when done properly, brings immediate benefits. Isn't that something? So that's, I shared with you from Jesus Christ, our Passover. So there are many wonderful benefits that we remember when we partake of the communion service. And there's a physical deliverance, and there's also what I would call a mental deliverance that we can experience. We can experience physical healing because of his broken body. We can experience mental deliverance because of his shed blood, because what that did, that took care of our sin and the consequences of sin. Therefore, we don't have to have any sense of condemnation of sin in our life, because we have been redeemed by his precious blood. Isn't that fantastic? Well, that's what I wanted to share with you in light of this Wednesday, when we get together and have a communion service for the believers.